Live from historic downtown Carlisle, Pennsylvania, home of founding father James Wilson, 19th century hymn writer George Duffield, 19th century gospel minister George Norcross, and sports legend Jim Thorpe. It's Iron Sharpens Iron. This is a radio platform in which pastors, Christian scholars, and theologians address the burning issues facing the church and the world today. Proverbs chapter 27 verse 17 tells us iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. Matthew Henry said that in this passage, we are cautioned to take heed with whom we converse and directed to have in view in conversation to make one another wiser and better. It is our hope that this goal will be accomplished over the next 2 hours, and we hope to hear from you, the listener, with your own questions. And now here's your host, Chris Arnson.
Good afternoon, Cumberland County, Pennsylvania, Lake City, Florida, and the rest of humanity living on the planet Earth. We're listening via live streaming at ironsharpensironradio.com. This is Chris Arnson, your host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, wishing you all a happy Thursday on this 11th day of April 2024. And I want to start off the program by reminding you of a prayer request that I'd still like to announce. Please pray for the baby of a very dear friend of mine, or actually she is the granddaughter of a very dear friend of mine, a name that will immediately be recognized by those who listen regularly to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Joe Moorcraft. He is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church in Cumming, Georgia, and he is one of the largest financial supporters of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. He asked me to pray for his newly born granddaughter, Rebecca Hope. And Rebecca was born at just a little over 3 pounds just very recently. And sadly, little Rebecca Hope has a fatal heart condition. The doctors do not expect little Rebecca Hope to last very much longer. So please pray that our great physician would touch this child, would miraculously heal this child of whatever ailment or disability is putting her life at risk, and guide the doctors that they would use every ounce of their gifts and abilities to, if at all possible, prolong the life of this baby. We hope to hear praise reports in the near future, but we ask of you also to be with not only my dear friend Joe Moorcraft and his wife Becky, but be with the parents of this baby, Joe and Becky's daughter, Mercy, and her husband. Be with them to be prepared to accept your will, whatever it may be in this circumstance. And hopefully I will be able to give you updates on this next week and so on. But today I am absolutely thrilled to have a guest on for the very first time. Many of you may recognize the name Gary George. He is the pastor of Sovereign Grace Chapel of Southbridge, Massachusetts. He contacted me very recently, and he said, brotherness, as he always calls me, and in fact, I think he calls every one of his brothers in Christ, brotherness, you've got to get my friend Timothy Crockett, pastor of Bible Way Baptist Church of Worcester, Massachusetts, on your show, because he is from an independent fundamentalist Baptist background, an anti-Calvinist background, and he has come to embrace the doctrines of sovereign grace, and I think that your listeners will be fascinated and edified and blessed by his testimony. And I immediately, especially knowing Gary so well for many years, going back to the 1980s, and since I have a very high level of appreciation and esteem for him and his discernment. I immediately took him up on his suggestion, and here we have it. We have our guest today for the very first time, Pastor Timothy Crockett of Bible Way Baptist Church of Worcester, Massachusetts, who's going to be addressing one independent fundamentalist Baptist's journey into the glorious doctrines of the sovereign grace of God. It's my honor and privilege to welcome you for the very first time ever to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Pastor Tim Crockett.
Thank you so much, Chris, for having me on the program. I do appreciate Gary's very kind words. And yes, he does refer to people as your brotherness. He's been a real blessing over the years. I've known him probably close to 30 years. And my first encounter with Gary was back in 1995. I was saved in 94, and I was called to preach in 95. And when I approached my mentor about my calling to preach, he said, well, you're going to put in some work. And that meant a lot of things. But one of the first things that he told me I was going to do was start street preaching. I said, okay, that's interesting. And so he put me in contact with Gary. I called Gary on the phone. Gary was very gracious. And I met with Gary down at the place where we met. It was Worcester Galleria, or the center of Worcester, downtown Worcester. Back then, in the 90s, it was a thriving area, a lot of traffic, foot traffic, bus traffic. And so I met with him. I wrote up a sermon, thought that's what you do when you street preach, write up a whole sermon. And went down. Of course, it was a blustery day, and there was no way I was going to hold the papers. So I ended up preaching extemporaneous, just from verses that I had memorized. And so we started to, you know, get along and talk. And there was a different group of people down there. I think they were from different churches. And so I got to meet a lot of different people from different backgrounds, but with a common goal: to share the gospel of Christ, to give away Bibles, and to meet people where we're at. So that was my first introduction to Gary.
And I also had an echoed, enthusiastic recommendation after he learned of my intention to interview you, our mutual friend, Pastor Josh Fryman, in North Dakota, also was thrilled to hear I was interviewing you. And he asked me to give you his regards in Christ.
Well, I appreciate that very much. Josh is a good man. Good man.
Yes, he was almost going to be my pastor when I was in planning to move to the town where he used to pastor on Long Island in Riverhead. But I unexpectedly moved to Pennsylvania. So as I've told Josh many times, in God's providence, he dodged a bullet not having to be my pastor. Well, let's start the program, first of all, by having you give a brief description of Bible Way Baptist Church in Worcester, Massachusetts.
Bible Way Baptist Church started in 1993 as a house church. I'm the second pastor. Started in 93 as a house church. They outgrew the house, and then they rented, I believe it was a hall or the sanctuary from a Lutheran church, and then transitioned from there to a place on James Street, and from James Street to the current location where the building, the land was purchased, the building built, and it was dedicated on July 4th, 2002. And I came to Bible Way in 2004. I was ordained in 2005, and I was called to be the pastor on December 24th, 2006, and I've been there ever since. It's a great group of people. The church started growing probably around 2016, 2017. I started to notice the trajectory going upwards. Then 2020 hit, everything kind of leveled off. And then once that dust settled from that, it just started to grow from there, and it has continued to grow. I got a great body of believers. I'm blessed to have a great group of men that have come up beside me to help me in the ministry in many ways, preaching sermons, teaching Sunday school lessons, helping just with church groundwork and outreach We've got some great men who go door to door, who will go down to Elm Park. It's a park down the road from where the church is, in front of City Hall, give away Bibles, tracts, door hangers, and invite people to church, and just faithful in that regard. And the people themselves, they're growing spiritually. Their love for the Lord is increasing. They desire a closer walk with God. They want to learn doctrine. They want to make application, and they want to thrive. And so we're trying to cultivate a good culture in the church where these things are able to happen for them.
Great. Well, if anybody wants more details about Bible Way Baptist Church in Worcester, a.k.a. Auburn, Massachusetts, you can look up their website, BibleWayBC.org, BibleWayBC.org. And God willing, we will be repeating that. Just out of curiosity, I don't know if you've seen the photo I found of you that I used in our social media promotion for the show, but is that gorgeous pulpit the one at Bible Way Baptist Church, or is that from a visiting when you were a visiting preacher somewhere and preaching at another church?
That is our pulpit.
Oh,
that
wow.
is the background.
Wow.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, that's gorgeous.
Thank you.
God has been good to you.
He has. He really has.
Well, I'm going to give our audience our email address right away if they have questions. It is chrisarnzen@gmail.com, chrisarnzen@gmail.com. As always, give us your first name at least, your city and state of residence, and your country of residence if you live outside the USA. Please only remain anonymous if your question involves a personal and private matter. And actually, I could easily expect that there will be listeners that do have very personal and private questions because they are going through the same journey, perhaps, as my mm-hmm. guest, Tim Crockett. Perhaps they are still in a church that has attitudes towards the doctrines of grace all the way from barely tolerating them to the other extreme of being enraged with anger and disgust and fury when hearing about anyone in their midst believing in these doctrines, which we cherish, which others have tragically slandered as the doctrines of Satan and so on. So I understand that there may be many of you who want to remain anonymous because you're still in a situation where your pastor, your elders, your congregation, your denomination, whatever the case may be very opposed to what is being said here. And you might even be the pastor yourself, and perhaps you're in a position where you are privately studying through these issues and starting to come to new conclusions from your searching of the scriptures and through the guidance of the Holy Spirit. You're even in disagreement with your fellow elders, perhaps. Well, we understand that those things would compel you to remain anonymous, but if they're general questions, please give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Well, let's begin where I always begin with first-time guests. We always have our first-time guests give their salvation testimony in summary form on this program, and that would include the kind of religious atmosphere, if any, in which they were raised, and the kinds of providential circumstances our sovereign Lord raised up in their lives that drew them to himself and saved them. And I'd love to hear the beginning of your story.
Well, it is an interesting story, to say the least. I was born in 68. I grew up in the 70s and 80s. I was baptized in the Roman Catholic tradition, no confirmation, no communion, a non-religious home, but a principled home. My dad was the breadwinner in the home. He was the disciplinarian in the home. He ruled, not with an iron fist, but he was a disciplinarian, but with principle. So there was really no religion. They weren't atheists or anything like that. So I went through all of that. And it was probably in the early 80s, my early teens, I began to have religious impressions. I'm still trying to figure out where they came from and trying to lock in on a specific time when, you know, when I heard about God and sin and hell, but I realized that I was a sinner. I realized that I didn't deserve to go to heaven and I surely would perish. So I began sort of, you know, inquiring about religion. And one of my first profound encounters with an evangelist, I don't know what his background was. I don't know if he was Baptist or Pentecostal. His name was Ed. He lived in a trailer park down the road. I remember the car he drove. I remember the trailer he lived in. And what he would do is he'd take us kids out fishing. We'd go fishing, and then we'd come back to his trailer, and he would open up the Bible, and he would talk about Jesus. And that's really all that I remember. It wasn't really a theological thing. I just remember talking about Jesus and, you know, going through all that. So that probably lasted about a year, but I wasn't really interested in getting serious about religion at all. I was too busy running after youthful lust rather than fleeing from them. Then it was about a year and a half later, I was at the Worcester Galleria, and I was on the second tier. I was with another friend of mine, and this evangelist came up to me, and he started going through the Bible, going through what I assumed to be the Romans Road, and my buddy took off because he didn't want to hear it. And he went through the whole thing, and then he got to a point where he asked when I think I should be saved. And, of course, I didn't know the answer to the question, and so he pointed to the text in Corinthians where it says, today is the day of your salvation. And at the moment he read that, for whatever reason, I hadn't done anything that night that would have caused me to black out. But at that moment, I couldn't say anything. I literally blacked out. I fell backward. I ended up getting a big cut on my head. I woke up. He was there, my friend, with his jacket under my head. I ended up getting an ambulance ride to the hospital. I got 8 stitches. The fellow that was witnessing to me, you know, was, you know, talking to me saying, well, that was the, you know, the devil and the Lord fighting over your soul. I was just confused and kind of frustrated that the whole thing happened. But that was a really profound moment for me. And so we got past all of that. Now we fast forward to my early 20s. I started to slow down a little bit. I met my wife, and we started going together, and we started going to church, her church, where she got saved. It was a church that her family had started back probably in 1920, 1925. It was an Italian Baptist mission on Shrewsbury Street here in Worcester. And so we started going there. At that time, I was working at a dealership, Ragsdale Chevrolet and Spencer. And there were two on-campus evangelists, Dave Garvey and Dave Lyons. Dave Lyons was the more vocal of the two. So again, talking about Jesus and sharing the Bible. But at that time, I was still really rough around the edges. And I gave him a lot of flack. And anyway, so fast forward, my preacher was preaching a sermon one Sunday and just, you know, really making the appeal, you know, to repent, get right with God. And so I did. I confessed Christ as my Savior, and I knew I was saved at that moment. I knew that I had been redeemed and that I was going to go to heaven. And when I went back to work, Dave Lyons picked up on the change in my conduct, my behavior, my language, and everything. And he called me out, actually, and he said, "You got saved." I said, "I did." He said, "I can tell." And he referenced the change in my conversation and so forth. So we became good friends after that. I used to go into his office after work and we'd sit down and talk about things from the Bible. About 2 weeks after that, I came to my mentor and I told him, I said, I need to tell the congregation something. And so it was Wednesday night and he gave me the floor and I told the congregation that I had received Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, that I was born again, and then shortly thereafter, I was baptized and went to that church under his mentorship for 10 years before I came to Bible Way.
And what kind of a church was this?
It was a Baptist church, conservative, Southern Baptist.
Okay, but not necessarily, well, obviously you've already gave it away by saying it's Southern Baptist. It wasn't an independent fundamentalist Baptist, but there are Southern Baptist congregations who very closely resemble Independent Fundamentalist Baptists. Of course, they're a tiny minority in the Southern Baptist Convention today. But
right.
But where did you discover and latch on to the unique brand, for lack of a better term, of the Independent Fundamentalist Baptist movement?
When I joined Bible Way.
Okay. And so when did you begin to realize at Bible Way that you had a calling placed upon your part, on your heart, to enter into pastoral ministry?
Well, that calling actually happened when I was at the other church. That was, I was saved in 94, and I was called in 95, 96. So I was mentored for 10 years under the previous church, and I had been at the Bible Way Baptist Church for about 2 years before I was called to be the pastor.
So when you first arrived at and became a member of Bible Way Baptist, as I've already mentioned before in introducing you, the Independent Fundamentalist Baptist movement is not monolithic. And I do want, in fact, I was planning on saying this at the very beginning of the show, and I forgot, but I want to say it now. I want to let everybody know that I am not denouncing everyone who identifies themselves as an Independent Fundamentalist Baptist. I'm not saying you're not my brothers in Christ. I am not saying that this is some kind of a wicked, dangerous cult or anything like that. We are just highlighting the journey of a specific brother in Christ who has come to embrace and has come to seek to champion the precious doctrines of sovereign grace that I love. And as host of this program, I try to feature guests such as my guest today as often as I can, who come from all kinds of theological backgrounds, into what has been nicknamed the doctrines of sovereign grace, Calvinism, Reformed theology, etc. And so we're not seeking to vilify brethren listening who are a part of the Independent Fundamentalist Baptist movement. Having said that, as I already mentioned, the movement is not a monolithic group. And you have folks, like I have many friends who are Independent Fundamentalist Baptists, who know of my belief in the doctrines of sovereign grace. They love me. They're kind and gracious to me. But they just make it clear in friendly conversation that they are very strongly opposed to these doctrines. But then I have encountered others who question my salvation, who believe it is absolute heresy to believe in these things, who call it, as I've already mentioned, the doctrines of demons, and so on. So where on that spectrum would you say Bible Baptist, or I'm sorry, the congregation that you joined there, the Bible Way Baptist Church, where on the spectrum of what I just described would you say this church was at that time?
At the time I joined IFB, definitely anti-Calvinist. I don't know how else to describe.
To the length where they would call it the doctrines of demons and question somebody's salvation?
I did.
Wow.
I called it that.
Wow.
I did that. That's a fairly lengthy testimony. And that goes back to when I met Gary George. There's a piece there that's important, I think, for this show. And then the transition in my thinking.
By the way,
could
you provide for us that piece when we return from our first commercial break?
Sure.
And once again, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence if you have a question. Don't go away. We'll be right back. We'll be right back.
Greetings. This is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at securecomgroup.com. That's securecomgroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
I'm Pastor Bill Shishko of The Haven, an Orthodox Presbyterian church in Commack, Long Island. I hold the Iron Sharpens Iron radio program hosted by my longtime friend and brother Chris Arnzen in the highest esteem, and I'm thrilled that you're listening today. I'm also delighted that Iron Sharpens Iron is partnering with one of my favorite resources for Reformed Christian literature for decades now, Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Well, with the economic nightmare that we're all currently enduring, CVBBS.com, I'm going to enable you to build a wonderful personal library of the best in literature that the Reformers, the Puritans, and the great Christian minds of today have to offer, and at affordable prices. Not only does CVBBS.com offer up to 50% off retail prices, but you'll get an added 5% off orders of $50 or more by using promo code IRON, I-R-O-N. An added 5% off all of your orders of $50 or more from Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. That's CVBBS.com, making the joy of reading the finest in Christian literature more affordable. Oh, and make sure that you tell them you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Have you noticed the gap that exists between the Sunday morning sermon and the Sunday school classroom or the small group study? So often we experience great preaching from the pulpit, but when it comes time to study God's word in those smaller settings, well, let's be honest, it leaves a lot to be desired. It seems like it is nearly impossible to find good curriculum out there today that is true to the Word of God and is built upon sound doctrine. Much less, it's hard to find curriculum that will actually teach people how to study the Bible. Hi there, my name is Jordan Too, and I am the Executive Director of the Baptist Publishing House. Our ministry is dedicated to providing local churches with sound Bible study resources. Our quarterly curriculum is titled The Baptist Expositor, and for a good reason. We are Baptist, and we exegete the Scriptures. If you want to have a curriculum that teaches your people how to study the Word of God, I invite you, go to our website, download a free study, BaptistPublishingHouse.com. May God bless you.
Hello, I'm Phil Johnson, Executive Director of Grace to You with John MacArthur. I've been a frequent guest on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, and I highly recommend this show. But today I want to tell you about one of its advertisers, Rare Document Traders. Far and away, my favorite source for quality Charles Spurgeon memorabilia. Are you looking for that special, unique gift for your pastor or missionary friend or a loved one? Why not purchase a piece of church history that any believer would cherish? Rare Document Traders is your one-step source for Spurgeon's handwritten manuscripts and letters, as well as other rare books and collectible items from church history. In 15 years that they've been in business, they've earned a stellar reputation in the Reformed community with thousands of satisfied customers all around the world, including me. Visit RareDocTraders.com today. That's RareDocTraders.com. Don't forget to mention you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. That's RareDocTraders.com.
Here at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, praise God for the generous monthly financial support of Royal Diadem Jewelers, educated by and affiliated with the American Gem Society, Jewelers of America, and the Gemological Institute of America. For the perfect custom-designed engagement ring or any one-of-a-kind piece of jewelry created exactly according to your imagination and specifications, Royal Diadem Jewelers has you covered. No matter where you live in the world, Royal Diadem will walk you step-by-step through every stage of the process and even hold a high-tech internet virtual visit using state-of-the-art jewelry design technology to serve you. They start by listening carefully to determine your needs. They're interested in making what you want, not what they want to sell you. From rough design to digital model, to photorealistic image, to wax prototype model, to the finished product, they're continually listening to your input, likes and dislikes, making any changes necessary along the way. This will ensure that your custom jewelry will turn out exactly as you dreamed and well beyond your expectations. Visit RoyalDiadem.com. That's RoyalDiadem.com today. Sterling Vanderwerker, owner of Royal Diadem Jewelers, his wife Bronnie, his business partner and manager Brian Wilson, and the entire family thank you all for listening to, praying for, and supporting the work of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And don't forget, folks, RoyalDiadem.com is still offering Iron Sharpens Iron Radio this mind-blowing opportunity. RoyalDiadem.com is giving Iron Sharpens Iron Radio 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry to an Iron Sharpens Iron Radio listener simply by that listener mentioning Iron Sharpens Iron Radio when they make their purchase. Whether you are purchasing a piece of jewelry that they already have in stock at RoyalDiadem.com, or if you're having a one-of-a-kind customized piece of jewelry created, like an engagement ring or turning your church logo, your parachurch ministry logo, your denomination logo, or your seminary logo into a pendant for a necklace or a ring, or whatever kind of jewelry you're having customized using your own imagination and creativity, they are going to give 100% of the profits from that sale to us at Iron Sharpens Iron Radio if you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. And I'm asking you to please, if you have any intention to purchase jewelry for yourself or someone you love, and keep in mind Mother's Day is coming up around the corner and Father's Day and all kinds of wedding anniversaries, and I'm sure quite a number of you men out there are going to pop the question to that special lady in your life and you'll need an engagement ring. But whatever the case may be, if you have any intention on buying jewelry, please go to RoyalDiadem.com today to at least start the ball rolling. Even if you're not making your final purchase and paying for anything today, at least get the ball rolling by going to RoyalDiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio to further ensure that we will get 100% of the profits. We have no idea when RoyalDiadem.com will pull the plug on this offer where we get 100% of the profits from any sale of jewelry. So please go to RoyalDiadem.com today and mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. We're now back with Pastor Tim Crockett, who is the pastor of Bible Way Baptist Church in Worcester, Massachusetts, also known as Auburn, Massachusetts. And we are discussing his testimony, One Independent Fundamentalist Baptist's Journey into the Glorious Doctrines of the Sovereign Grace of God. And once again, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. If you have a question, give us your first name at least, city and state and country of residence. One other thing I wanted to have you clarify before you go into the missing puzzle piece with Gary George. You said that you were a vehement anti-Calvinist, even to the point of calling it the doctrines of demons. First of all, was that also the mindset of your pastors and fellow congregation members at Bible Way?
I wouldn't say that they were as aggressive, but definitely anti-Calvinist. And so I was the aggressive one as far as that was concerned. So there's a lot there that I can't retract. There was radio programs back in 2011. So it's a long journey, a long fall, if you will, from a place of ignorance, as far as I'm concerned. And so they were, you know, anti-Calvinist as an IFB, typical IFB church would be, but I was pretty vehement against it. And then that, of course, goes back to my encounter with Gary. So there's, if I can go into that, unless you have another question to follow up.
One more question.
Sure.
The Independent Fundamentalist Baptist movement is not monolithic, as I've already said, and I'm sure you are aware of that. In fact, I was, as an airtime salesman for WMCA Radio, a Salem media affiliate in New York, for 15 years I was selling airtime. And that's actually when I developed close friendships with quite a number of independent fundamentalist Baptists. And we would have meetings. Well, they would actually invite me to their meetings. I can't remember how often. It might have been once a month or every other month. But they would have meetings with all the pastors who participated. Basically, this was a show that aired once a week, and every week a different pastor from the group of independent fundamentalist Baptists would be the host, and they would all share the cost of this. And the program was called, and I'm the one that actually came up with the title of the show, the Fundamental Baptist Forum. And when I would meet with them, it was painfully obvious that these guys were not all in harmony. And some of them had very significant disagreements over things like the necessity of repentance for salvation. You had you had some who believed correctly that you needed to repent from sin and repent to God for salvation. And there were others who believed that was rank heresy, which is really puzzling when you consider how strict fundamentalists tend to be about the manner in which you are supposed to live. And it's just odd to me that they wouldn't believe that repentance was necessary. But that's another time for another topic. But where were you in that orbit of fundamentalism?
Do you mean on repentance?
On repentance and perhaps other things that the fundamentalist Baptists disagree over.
I hold to repentance.
And you always did when you were?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
But you are aware of what I'm speaking of, right?
Yes, I am.
Yeah. In fact,
There's a lot of... Sorry.
No, go ahead.
There's a lot of disagreements over a lot of little things as well.
That's not a little thing.
No, that's not. That's not. But, arguing about what kind of music to listen to.
Right, right. In fact, they did that too during those meetings. Like they would say, I don't like that country gospel music you play. It sounds like a honky tonk. And then the other, what are you talking about? That's good old fashioned music. You know, and you have all of that going on. But anyway, now we get a better idea of where you were coming from. You were at least biblically accurate in your understanding of repentance at the time?
Yes.
Okay. Well, now you could introduce the missing piece to the puzzle with Gary George.
So it was probably about the end of the first season, maybe into the second season of Street Preaching. And it was after one of the meetings down there, and a gentleman, Bruce Binney, had taken me aside. I think at the time he was a member of Gary's church. I'm not sure. But he had taken me aside. Now, up to this point, I had never heard of TULIP. I'd never heard of it. Total Depravity, Limited Atonement. I had never heard of it. I had never heard God presented that way. So Bruce sat down with me. I call it the grassy knoll because of the way the landscape was shaped. And he went through, he had a bunch of tracts and Bible, and he went through every step. And I remember in the conversation with him, I didn't have a whole lot to say. I was actually frustrated. I was confused. And even at one point, I was angry. I just couldn't reconcile what he was saying. The way I was interpreting it was through my emotions and certainly not reason. And so we finished the meeting, and Bruce was a gentleman. There's no fault on Bruce. He was perfectly clear in his presentation and certainly biblical, and went through, you know, all the texts and was very patient. And I remember when I left that meeting, just being really emotionally charged through the whole thing, and could not believe that God would be presented that way, you know, picking somebody, you know, arbitrarily, you know, before the foundation of the world, the very thing that I preach now, you know, chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world. And so I went home, and I must have had a booklet or something on my shelf that was Hyper-Calvinism, might have been by John R. Rice, the 30-page booklet. I said, oh, that's enough. That's all I need to review Calvinism. So anyway, I told my mentor what had happened, how I was feeling about all of it and wanting to separate from the group. And I think he was disappointed. He didn't say a whole lot to me, but I wanted to, out of respect to him and to Gary, meet with Gary and tell him that I was separating from the group. And I did. I went down, I met with Gary, and I told him I can't deal with this. This is not right doctrine. That was the conclusion I came to based on my emotions at the time.
Right.
And I'd separated. And Gary, I'll never forget it. Gary looked at me and he said, I'll be praying for you, brother, and you know, we'll miss you. He was so gracious, and he's always been that way. One thing about Gary, and I've known him for 30 years, and you know him, he's a constant. He is he's the same today as he was back then. Very gracious.
Yes.
And I'm very privileged to know this man and come to know him even better over the last probably 8 years or so. And so that began my sort of anti-Calvinist, you know, trek, and just continued down that road. But the change started happening with me when I started really reading. It started first with history. I asked myself, why am I a Baptist? And I wanted to find out, why am I a Baptist? Somebody asked me, why are you a Baptist? Why do you prefer the Baptist way? And so I began to do the research on that. I came across Carroll's Trail of Blood, and then I've got other landmarker, you know, Baptist history books and so forth. So a lot of the great names that people know, like Roger Williams, John Clark, Obadiah Holmes, Elder Leland, Francis Whalen, all of these very important figures, particularly in our nation's church history, were contributors to the liberty that we have now in America. You know, Elder Leland, for example, in his work with James Madison and getting us the First Amendment to the Constitution and the right to gather and worship freely without, you know, government or state oversight. John Clark and Roger Williams petitioned King Charles II. I think it was John Clark. He stayed 12 years. I think Roger Williams came back at the 10-year mark, but they got the charter for churches to be able to worship freely without any interference from the state. They called it a lively experiment. But what happened was, as I kept reading these books, these things were coming up. You know, these men have some Calvinist leanings. And then one of my men, it was probably back in 2015, that's when things really started to shift for me. One of my men came to me, who was also an avid reader, And he slapped a book down on my desk. He said, "Have you read this?" And I said, "No." And it was Obadiah Holmes' Last Will and Testament. And full Calvinist, full doctrines of grace, the whole thing. And so then as I began to peel back these layers, I realized the hypocrisy in my own life in making statements like that from the pulpit. You know, Calvinists don't soul win, they're heretics, you know, they're doctrines of devils, the whole nine yards. And I couldn't reconcile that and then get up and sing an Isaac Watts hymn. And I got Matthew Henry, Matthew Poole on my, you know, I've got Charles Spurgeon, you know, the Treasury of David, the morning and evening. And I had to face my own ignorance and I had to deal with that. And that's what really opened the door. And of course, I'm a Baptist through and through. So as I began to read and read and read, I'm finding these men, you know, held to the Reformed doctrines of grace. And so what that did is that kicked that door wide open to look into what these doctrines were, and it became easier for me to accept them. And the book that you had recommended was a tremendous, tremendous book. I can't recommend it enough, By His Grace and for His Glory by Thomas Nettles.
Oh, yeah.
That was an excellent, excellent book. And it just widened the girth on this knowledge of Calvinistic thought in all these major figures in Baptist history. And that's not even including the First and Second Great Awakening. You get down to George Whitfield and Jonathan Edwards. And of course, my favorite is Azahel Nettleton. And people.
Oh, yeah.
Study this
have you read Revival and Revivalism by Ian Murray?
Yes, I read that a couple years ago, yes.
Yeah, that's an excellent book which compares and contrasts Azahel Nettleton with Charles Finney, the first being biblically orthodox with a true gospel, and the latter, Charles Finney, being extremely heretical and problematic, to say the least. Mm. But I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
No, you're good. And so anyway, that began to open the door to other things. And then I love reading Puritan literature. Thomas Manton is one of my favorite Puritans, and then certainly others along the way. And of course, again, all Reformed in their theology. And so they've blessed me in my study. They've blessed the congregation, you know, from behind the pulpit in Sunday school and preaching. And it's really shaped my whole perspective on the reformers or Reformed theology in general, at least in that piece of it. And that's kind of how it all, you know, took place. There's an experience aspect of it too, that began to concern me. The altar call, or as you mentioned, revivalism.
Yeah.
You know, this idea, you know, all these people getting saved, but there's no fruit. And right. I know that's another critical issue with people. Who are you to judge?
Yep.
But if you read church history, brother, you read Azahel Nettleton compared to Finney, even Finney remarked how few of his converts, quote unquote, stayed with it. When
right.
they polled converts for Azahel Nettleton, they were still serving.
Yeah.
They were still in churches 20, 30 years. And so.
Amen. Well, what was the reaction of your fellow congregants to this new theology that you have fallen in love with when you made it public?
What is interesting about that, I have found that many of them are already there.
Wow.
I had a conversation with a woman last Saturday, and I was talking about election from Ephesians chapter 1, and she was right there, and she said, "Thank you, Pastor, for preaching that." And I admit I was shocked. And then this was a few years ago. This story made me chuckle. One of the gentlemen came up to me, and he started talking about election and being chosen, and it was just, to me, strange language coming from him. And I said, "Oh, brother, that's interesting. What are you reading?" And he said, "Well, I'm reading Arthur Pink's Sovereignty of God." and I almost fell on the floor. Huh. And I said, I said, brother, let me know what your findings are when you're done reading that. And then as I continue to open up and talk to more people, I'm finding that they're already watching John MacArthur. They're already listening to Steve Lawson and John Piper and Paul Washer. He comes up quite a bit, that infamous sermon of his.
Yeah.
And so, you know, so they're already listening to these things. So the language that's coming from me, you know, in terms of the doctrine and, you know, key points of focus, many of them already recognize it. Now, we do have a diverse group of people, and they're at different levels of their understanding of the Bible. And I preached last Sunday night a sermon on predestination. It was an overview. It wasn't meant to be a detailed sermon, just an overview, just an introduction to it. And there was mixed reviews on it. Some agreed to disagree, and others said, no, we agree, Pastor, no problem. And then, you know, others, well, I have to consider that and look at it myself and study it out like a Berean. And that's perfectly fine. We want people to study their Bibles. We want them in their Bibles. But I think the thing with the whole Calvinist debate is we've isolated these words because we're so afraid to talk about them because of the Calvinistic implication. We're missing out on so much, in especially doctrines of soteriology, because we're afraid it's Calvinistic. If you talk about election, that's Calvinistic. That's taboo. You shouldn't be talking about that. Or predestination. Well, we're not going to get anywhere, and we're not going to grow and learn. And I had a quote in a sermon that somebody brought to my attention. If the church is to grow bigger, it's got to grow deeper. And the point of the quote was, you got to go deeper with God. You got to get closer to God. And by putting these doctrines on the back burner, or blunting the sharp edge of what they clearly communicate, then the people of God are being robbed of the blessing that God intended for them. And not only that, but God's being robbed of his glory.
Amen. Well, we have to go to our midway break right now. And once again, if you have a question you'd like to ask, we do have several questions from listeners who are waiting to hear them asked and answered. But if you'd like to get in line and join the conversation with a question of your own, our email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least city and state and country of residence. Please be patient with us, folks, because the midway break in the show is always a little longer than the other breaks because Grace Life Radio, 90.1 FM in Lake City, Florida, requires of us a longer break in the middle of the show because the FCC requires of them to localize Iron Sharpens Iron Radio geographically to Lake City, Florida, where the radio station is located. And they do so with their own public service announcements and other local things. We, on the other hand, simultaneously air our globally heard commercials. Please use this time wisely. Write down as much of the contact information for as many of our advertisers as you possibly can so that you can more frequently and successfully respond to our advertisers, keeping in mind that the finances that come into Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through our advertisers are absolutely essential to our existence. So please try to respond to our advertisers as much as possible. And, of course, send in your questions to Pastor Tim Crockett, to chrisarnson@gmail.com. chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state, and country of residence. Don't go away. We're going to be right back.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President Emeritus and Professor of Systematic and Applied Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary. Every Christian who's serious about the Reformed faith and the Westminster Standards should have and use the 8-volume commentary on the theology and ethics of the Westminster Larger Catechism titled Authentic Christianity by Dr. Joseph Moorcraft. It is much more than an exposition of the Larger Catechism. It is a thoroughly researched work that utilizes biblical exegesis as well as historical and systematic theology. Dr. Moorcraft is pastor of Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, and I urge everyone looking for a biblically faithful church in that area to visit that fine congregation. For details on the 8-volume commentary, go to westminstercommentary.com, westminstercommentary.com, For details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com, heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Please tell Dr. Moorcraft and the saints at Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, that Dr. Joseph Piper of Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
This is Daryl Bernard Harrison, co-host of the Just Thinking Podcast, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Tom Buck, a First Baptist Church of Lindale, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Kent Keller of Faith Bible Church in Sharpsburg, Georgia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Andrew Rappaport, the founder and executive director at Striving for Eternity Ministries, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Mark Grimaldi, pastor of Sovereign Grace Church of Greenbrier, Tennessee, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Christopher Cookston, pastor of Prineville Community Church in Prineville, Oregon, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Matt Tarr, pastor of High Point Baptist Church in Larksville, Pennsylvania, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Hello, my name is Anthony Uvinio, and I'm one of the pastors at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York, and also the host of the ReformRookie.com website. I want you to know that if you enjoy listening to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show like I do, you can now find it on the Apple's iTunes app by typing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio in the search bar. You no longer have to worry about missing a show or a special guest because you're in your car or still at work. Just subscribe on the iTunes app and listen to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio show at any time, day or night. Please be sure to also give it a good review and pass it along to anyone who would benefit from the teaching and the many solidly reformed guests that Chris Arnzen has on the show. Truth is so hard to come by these days, so don't waste your time with fluff or fake news. Subscribe to the Iron Sharpens Iron radio podcast right now. And while you're at it, you can also sign up for the ReformRookie.com podcast and visit our website and the YouTube page. We are dedicated to teaching Christian theology from a Reformed Baptist perspective to beginners in the faith as well as seasoned believers. From Keach's Catechism and the Doctrines of Grace to the Olivet Discourse and the Book of Leviticus, the Reformed Rookie podcast and YouTube channel is sure to have something to offer everyone seeking biblical truth. And finally, if you're looking to worship in a Reformed church that holds to the 1689 London Baptist Confession of Faith, please join us at Hope Reformed Baptist Church in Quorum, New York. Again, I'm Pastor Anthony Uvinio, and thanks for listening.
Armored Republic exists to equip free men with tools of liberty to defend God-given rights against the twin threats of tyranny and chaos. If you own a rifle to resist tyrants and criminals, then you should own body armor and a med kit for the same reasons. A rifle stops evil, body armor and a med kit keep you in the fight and preserve your life. Armored Republic is a body of free craftsmen united to create tools of liberty. We are honored to be your armorsmith of choice. Civilian ownership of body armor is about increasing decentralized power and, by comparison, reducing the advantages of centralized power. The danger of centralized power is often represented by the word king. As Americans, we hate the word king applied to any mere man. We are Armored Republic. And in a republic, there is no king but Christ. Arm yourself with tools of liberty at armoredrepublic.com.
Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio has had a long-time partnership with our friends at CVBBS, which stands for Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. They specialize in supplying Reformed and Puritan books and Bibles at discount prices that make them affordable for everyone. CVBBS has been a family-owned book service since 1987, operating out of Carlisle, Pennsylvania. They seek to bring you the best available Christian books and Bibles at the best possible prices. And now, they're also shipping worldwide. Browse the pages at ease, shop at your leisure, and purchase with confidence at Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service. Order online worldwide at cvbbs.com. That's cvbbs.com. Or you can order by phone at 717-249-0231. That's 717-249-0231. For orders of $50 or more, use promo code IRON for an extra 5% off their already discounted prices. And please, let our friends at CVBBS know that you heard about them on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
Chris Arnzen here, host of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. I strongly recommend a church I've been recommending as far back as the 1980s, Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey, pastored by Alan Dunn. Grace Covenant Baptist Church believes it's God's prerogative to determine how he shall be worshipped and how he shall be represented in the world. They believe churches need to turn to the Bible to discover what to include in worship and how to worship God in spirit and truth. They endeavor to maintain a God-centered focus and to protect worship from the intrusion of carnal entertainments and distractions. Reading, preaching, and hearing the Word of God, singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, baptism, and communion are the scriptural elements of their corporate worship performed with faith, joy, and sobriety. Discover more about Grace Covenant Baptist Church in Flemington, New Jersey at gcbc-nj.org. That's gcbc-nj.org. Or call them at 908-996-7654. That's 908-996-7654. Tell Pastor Dunn you heard about Grace Covenant Baptist Church on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
If you love Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, one of the best ways you can help keep the show on the air is by supporting our advertisers. One such faithful advertiser who really believes in what Chris Arnzen is doing is Daniel P. Puttafuoco, serious injury lawyer and Christian apologist. Dan is the president and founder of the Historical Bible Society. Their mission? To foster belief in the credibility of Scripture as the written word of God. They go to various churches, schools, and institutions to publicly display a rare collection of biblical texts, along with a fascinating presentation by Mr. Buttafuoco demonstrating the reliability of Scripture. To advance the cause of the gospel, they created a beautiful, perfect facsimile of the genealogy of Jesus Christ from the original engravings contained in a first edition 1611 King James Bible. This 17th century hand-engraved chart shows the family tree of Jesus Christ going back to Adam and Eve. This book is complete with gorgeous full-size illustrations of Noah's Ark and the Tower of Babel, and an explanation of why the genealogy of Jesus is so important for his claims to the throne of the universe. Originals of this work are in museums, and nobody has ever made it accessible to the public in a large book form before. You can have your own copy of this 44-page genealogy book for a donation of $35 or more. Visit historicalbiblesociety.org. That's historicalbiblesociety.org. Thanks for helping to keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air.
Charles Haddon Spurgeon once said,
"Give yourself unto reading. The man who never reads will never be read. He who never quotes will never be quoted. He who will not use the thoughts of other men's brains proves that he has no brains of his own. You need to read."
Solid Ground Christian Books is a publisher and book distributor who takes these words of the Prince of Preachers to heart. The mission of Solid Ground Christian Books is to bring back treasures of the past to minister to Christians in the present and future, and to publish new titles that address burning issues in the church and the world. Since its beginning in 2001, Solid Ground has been committed to publish God-centered, Christ-exalting books for all ages. We invite you to go treasure hunting at solid-ground-books.com. That's solid-ground-books.com and see what priceless literary gems from the past or present you can unearth from Solid Ground. Solid Ground Christian Books is honored to be a weekly sponsor of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio.
And keep in mind, solid-ground-books.com is a vital sponsor of this program, and we thank God and are so grateful to him and to solid-ground-books.com for sharing the money with which God has blessed them with us so that we can remain on the air. So please, if you've never purchased books from solid-ground-books.com before, today make your very first purchase at solid-ground-books.com. And if you are a regular customer of theirs, perhaps you purchase books even more than once a month from solid-ground-books.com. Well, please make today your largest purchase ever, if and indeed you can afford to do so. And always mention that you heard about solid-ground-books.com from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Keep in mind, you're not only going to be doing solid-ground-books.com a favor by purchasing books from them, and you're not only going to be doing Iron Sharpens Iron Radio a favor by keeping one of our most important advertisers happy, you're going to be doing yourself and anyone for whom you are purchasing books from solid-ground-books.com an enormous favor of incalculable value, because they bring back into print lost treasures of Christian literature, some of which have been unavailable to the body of Christ for centuries until they were rediscovered and brought back into print by solid-ground-books.com. And they also publish for the very first time new works by such modern-day authors as Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. So go to solid-ground-books.com frequently, purchase generously, always mention that you heard about them from Chris Arnzen of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Before I return to Pastor Tim Crockett and continue our discussion on his journey as an independent fundamentalist Baptist into the glorious doctrines of the sovereignty of God, before we continue with that discussion, I have some important announcements to make. If you really love this show, folks, and you want it to continue, you look forward to hearing the guests that we have on sometimes that you will never hear anywhere else, and the topics that we address that are very often rarely discussed anywhere else. You love winning free books and Bibles when you send in questions. If you really want us to continue, please go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. You can donate instantly with a debit or credit card in that fashion. And if you prefer the old-fashioned way of sending in checks via snail mail, there will also be a physical address that appears on your screen when you click support at ironsharpensironradio.com, where you can mail your checks made payable to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, if you want to advertise with us, as long as whatever it is you want to promote is compatible with what I believe, I would love to help you launch an ad campaign quickly, because we're just as much in urgent need of your advertising dollars as we are in your donations. So whether it's your church, parachurch ministry, your business, your private practice like a law firm or a medical firm, or maybe it's just a special event you're having, as long as it's compatible with my beliefs, please send me an email to chrisarnzen@gmail.com and put advertising in the subject line. Also, I want to remind you, please, folks, when you're giving to Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, never give your own church where you're a member less money than you normally give your church on the Lord's Day in order to bless Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. In other words, don't cut into the money that you have set aside for your Lord's Day giving to your own church in order to bless us. Never do that. And if you're really struggling to survive, please wait until you are more financially stable and back on your feet before you send us a financial gift. The Bible's very clear that we are primarily to use the money with which he has blessed us, which is still God's money. We're primarily to use that to support our church and our family, and providing for Iron Sharpens Iron Radio is obviously not a command. But if you do love the show and you are blessed above and beyond your ability to provide financially for your church and family, you have extra money for benevolent, recreational, and even trivial purposes, please share some of that money with us if you love the show and don't want us to go off the air. Go to ironsharpensironradio.com, click support, then click to donate now. Last but not least, if you are not a member of a Christ-honoring, biblically faithful, theologically sound, doctrinally solid church like Bible Way Baptist Church in Auburn, Massachusetts, well, I have extensive lists spanning the globe of biblically faithful churches, so no matter where you live in the world, I may be able to help you find a church, as I have done for many listeners all over the planet Earth, even sometimes within just a couple of minutes from where they live. So if you are in that predicament of not having a biblically faithful church home, send me an email to chrisarnson@gmail.com and put "I need a church" in the subject line. That's also the email address where you can send in a question to my guest today. The email address is chrisarnson@gmail.com, chrisarnson@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, your city and state, and your country of residence, and I'm sure that Pastor Tim would be thrilled to answer your question to the best of his ability. Give us your first name, at least, city and state and country of residence. And we are back with our conversation now. And can I ask you, before I go to listener questions, is there anything that might be considered uniquely an independent fundamentalist Baptist teaching or practice that you believe is superior to what you have even experienced or witnessed in Reformed Christian circles, that you have retained even though you have come to the doctrines of sovereign grace?
That's a good question. Trying to think of what that would be. We still hold to a lot of the things, I guess, that would make us an independent fundamental Baptist church. In terms of our view on the King James Bible, we still sing the old precious hymns. We go soul winning, but that's not exclusive, right, to the independent fundamental, because we've met plenty of Reformed Baptists out soul winning as well. So it's hard to say if there's one specific thing that's a carryover. I don't really have much to compare that to as far as a non-independent fundamental Baptist church. We are making a lot of changes within the church in our worship style, for example, that is not uniquely fundamental, at least not that I know of. Maybe there are some out there that do that. I started years ago, before I went full-time into the ministry, I used to work at Flexcon out here in Spencer, and their philosophy was process improvement at all levels. You know, how can we make a better product? How can we do the process better? So I kind of carried that over to the church, and it worked for a while, but it was growing old with some of the people because this is a process. It's not a process. But the mindset was, yeah, how can we improve what we're doing? And then I went to a NERF meeting last year. Dr. Lars Larson taught a lesson on Semper Reformanda, always reforming. Mm-hmm. And I love that. And I think it really fit into what I wanted to do at Bible Way. So we got rid of quite a few things and changed the service around. So we have a responsive scripture reading from the Psalms. We still sing the hymns, but now we're starting to introduce the singing of the scripture, in particular the singing of the Psalms. We got rid of some of the stuff that went on in between, like the meet and greet type of thing. And as far as the altar call is concerned, we transitioned out of that, I give a call to know Christ throughout the sermon, right, and even at the end of the sermon. But what I do is a call to prayer. And Amen. That's an opportunity for people to pray. And then we close with a benediction. So we try to, we're really trying to put as much of the Word of God into that time that we have together. So sometimes it goes a little over an hour, depending on the sermon. I changed, Sunday mornings I preach expositorially, currently going through the book of Mark, and I'm getting, prepared to go through Ephesians. So I'm digging into that now, and that'll be the next book that I go through. So those are some of the changes that I made. So a lot of, the hymns, I love the hymns. I love the old hymns, and the folks really love the hymns. And, they were really great at one time, and I think they still are. There's a lot of good theology in the hymns and good practical stuff that really does encourage the people, but trying to shift it a little bit more, including the singing of the psalms. So that's been a long process, but our song leader is doing a great job, and he's trying to really bring that in to the services more. I hope that helped you with your question.
Now, would there be anyone within independent fundamentalist Baptist circles that would object to the singing of psalms? I mean, I could understand objecting to exclusive psalmody, where you don't sing hymns at all. But would anybody object to using the Psalter in addition to a hymnal in the independent fundamentalist Baptist circles?
I can't answer that question in the affirmative. I don't know. I can't answer that in the affirmative. I do know that there are videos and some resources that I believe are independent Baptist who put together these psalms to be sung in churches. So I would say no. I would say that there are some that do sing them. I'm not, I couldn't name one, in this program. Hmm.
By the way, I want to recommend an interview that I conducted last year, July 6th of last year. I want to recommend to our listeners my interview with Jason Cherry on the culture of conversionalism, the culture of conversionism and the history of the altar call. And he really does a meticulous and really the best job I've ever seen going through the history of this practice and how not only is it not found in Scripture, but its arrival on the scene historically is surprisingly recent. I think that you will find this amazing, this book, especially if you've never heard this evidence before, because people wrongly think that if a church stops having altar calls or never did or never did have them, that they don't have a concern for calling sinners to Christ. And the fact of the matter is that calling sinners to Christ never manifested itself in a so-called altar call anywhere in the Bible. That's why we who do not use that practice don't have it. Anything to add to that?
No, I can't say anything other than I agree. I noticed some issues with the altar call, the overemphasis on it, the manipulation right. that would be used to bring people forward. That was one of the experiential red flags that I had as a pastor in this kind of, shift from that kind of thinking to exclusively the work of the Holy Spirit, and seeing the, pragmatism in trying to get people to do something. And it's so much like Finney, and that was right. Finney's whole drive. If they came forward, then it's an indication that they got saved. But in reality, there was no conversion. It was an emotional response. And we have to be careful of the emotion because it is a byproduct of the flesh. And as Paul stated, in the flesh dwelleth no good thing. So we have to be careful that we don't gauge our spiritual life by our emotions, because that can set us off in the wrong direction. And I think with the altar call, and one of the things with the altar call that I've noticed, particularly in outreach, you know, one-on-one soul winning with people, I would hear a lot. I walked an aisle. I raised my hand. I said the prayer. And you try to engage people. Okay, well, let's talk about that. How's your walk going with the Lord? Where are you going to church? I don't do any of that. And very hostile to having a conversation about spiritual things. And that's problematic, because one of the fruits of regeneration is a love for the brethren, a love for the Lord, a love for the Bible, a desire to fellowship and to be in church and around God's people, and a hatred of sin, and not want to live in sin or in bondage to sin. You're set free from that through the work of the Spirit, that you're a new creature in Christ. There should be some manifest change. It might look different to different people, but there's a change. And today, we just, they walk down the aisle. Okay, 300 people walk down the aisle. We had 300 souls saved, but how do you know that?
That's right.
How do you know that?
That's right. And my independent fundamentalist Baptist friends are typically, rightfully, extremely opposed to the heresies of Roman Catholicism. And if so, you've got to be consistent here. I've never seen an independent fundamentalist Baptist church with an altar. Why are you calling it an altar call? Am I making sense?
Yes, it is. Yeah, I wondered the same.
Right. And one other thing I wanted to ask you about, to have you clarify something. Earlier on, when you were describing predestination and election, I don't know if you use this term because of the way you used to view it when you did not believe in unconditional election, or if you still use this description now, but I do not believe that God's choice in predestination and election is arbitrary, which means on a whim, without any reason. Now, obviously, those whom God elected did not deserve it at all. There's nothing in us that is worthy of being elected. In fact, everything in us is worthy of being punished eternally in hell. I think there's a difference between being unworthy of election and God not choosing people because of things he foresaw in us that were good, even a choice to follow him. But at the same time, I don't think that that's the same thing as arbitrary. Do you want to comment on that?
Thank you for the correction. Yes. One of the proof texts that I use when I talk about election is Deuteronomy 7. I refer to that quite often as an example of God choosing the nation of Israel. And it states in that text very clearly, he chose them for no reason other than the fact that he loved them.
Right.
And it wasn't because of their might. It wasn't because of their numbers. It wasn't because of their strength. He chose them because they loved them. So, yes. The clarification would be God chose because he loved.
Yes.
He loved us.
Amen. And
yes.
Even though there was nothing lovely or lovable in us.
Exactly.
Right.
Yeah. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us.
Amen.
God commended his love toward us. Yep.
Hallelujah. Well, we have a listener from Mike in Worcester, Massachusetts. With your understanding of church history, are your eschatological views shifting at all from a dispensational to a more reformed standpoint, i.e. amillennial, etc.? Why or why not?
The first part of that answer would be no. I need more information or more historical information to make that decision. So I'm still dispensational. I guess I would line up with John MacArthur in terms of my eschatological viewpoint, but as far as a historical application or understanding, I need more information from resources. And I have not really come into a lot of material on that specifically in my reading. Most of the focus is on the soteriological aspect of it, or the doctrines of grace. That really comes to the forefront. So I haven't really run into that all that much. I mean, I understand the default to Darby and his take on dispensational truth, but in terms of going backwards and looking for it, I would need more history on that. If it comes up empty, well, then we're going to have to revisit that. But there's literature out there, and I can't remember the name of the book, but there was a book that came out a number of years ago that traced the history of the premillennial viewpoint going back to the New Testament. I can't remember the name of it. I wish I had pulled that aside, but so I can't, you know, answer that in the affirmative as far as where I stand right now. The doctrines always, again, Semper Reformanda, looking at the doctrines that I believe and my certainly my arguments and my understanding of our eschatological view. So, you know, digging into that. And I do have a number of guys in the church. Actually, two of them are amill. And then I think we have a pre-wrath fella. And then the majority of the people are, you know, dispensational, the pre-trib rapture, that typical theological or eschatological bent there. So we've certainly had a fair share of discussions, that's for sure.
Okay, we have Bart in Flanders, Long Island, New York. And Bart says, I heard you mention that your church still uses exclusively the King James Version of the Bible. Are you King James only? Do you vilify other translations and those who use them?
We are King James only. We do not vilify. We have actually, I have a number of folks in the church when in our worship time, we preach and teach from the King James. We have King James Bibles in the pews. There was a time when those Bibles were checked at the door, not by me, but by others, to see, you know, whether they have an NIV or whatever. They were vilified at that time, and that is no longer the case. So the going forward, you know, we have folks that will read the King James alongside the NIV or the NASB or the ESB. And I think the latest one, I think it might be LSB. I read exclusively, well, almost exclusively. I'm partial to the Geneva Bible. I like the notes in the Geneva Bible. And that was the first Bible that came over with the Pilgrims. The King James had replaced that sometime after. So that was the first one that came over. And I like it. John Knox had contributed quite a bit to the notes in the Geneva Bible. And I appreciate many of the notes that are in there. But as far as vilifying people, I understand that, you know, people will, you know, they use New King James Version, the NIV, and what have you. So the vilifying that, I guess, that corner of the IFB that, you know, says you can't get saved unless you're reading the King James Bible, I'm not of that camp.
Yeah, I have a friend who is a pastor of a Free Presbyterian congregation in Northern Ireland, and they exclusively use the King James Bible. But now, I'm not saying that this view is representative of that entire denomination, Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, and also Free Presbyterian Church of North America. But he said that he believed it was heresy. Even though he exclusively used the King James Bible, he believed it was heresy to identify other modern translations as satanic and not the Word of God. So I was just wondering if you would have any sympathies towards that view that this pastor had.
You mean it's heresy to say that they are the Word of God or they're not the Word of God?
That they're not. Which it would be very frequently something you hear from King James only folks. They would treat.
No, I would have to agree with him. What do you do with missionaries?
Right.
That go in. I couldn't hold to that position. Missionaries go into a foreign field and they're translating from. Probably, if they're King James, assuming they're translating from the Textus Receptus to the language of the place where they're doing their missions work, but it's still a translation.
Okay.
Just so you couldn't.
Go ahead.
No, you're good.
Just out of curiosity, I have a very long, decades-long friendship with Dr. James R. White of Alpha and Omega Ministries. Have you ever read his book, The King James Only Controversy?
Many, many years ago, yes.
Oh, okay. I was just curious if you want to revisit that.
It's on my bookshelf somewhere.
Okay. Well, I can make sure you get another copy if you'd like one. We have the aforementioned Gary George, pastor of Sovereign Grace Chapel of Southbridge, Massachusetts. And Pastor Gary says, Tim, has your evangelism been impeded since your theology has changed? Not holding to free will as you did before, are you comfortable offering the gospel freely now?
Yes, and it has not changed. It's actually increased.
And you care to describe what might be the reason for that? I can even tell you what I have heard from missionaries who became believers in the doctrines of sovereign grace. It gives them a lot more confidence and less reasons to be disappointed and depressed when they see very little fruit, at least initially, and perhaps for years, because they know that the Word of God will not return void, and they know with confidence that He has a remnant who are God's elect from every tribe and tongue and people and nation who are going to believe. It might not even be in the lifetime of the missionary, depending upon where they are, but that does not mean that their efforts are failures. Is that something to do with your not having your evangelism impeded?
I would agree with that. Definitely confidence. And then when you incorporate the whole body of knowledge that goes with soteriology in general. So now you're bringing in a lot of factors that you wouldn't normally bring in. When you talk about justification, or you talk about adoption, or even predestination. I personally like adoption, and I like the way that presents because it takes us from being a child of wrath, a child of the world, lost, undone, and in a perilous condition, unloved in as far as the world is concerned, and then God getting a hold of you and adopting you into the family of God and loving you and embracing you as a child. I think there's something to be said about that, at least for me personally. The confidence that I have with these doctrines also rests on the Holy Spirit. So rather than trying to perform or engage in some kind of pragmatic device or way, a giveaway or whatever, now the confidence is in the work of the Spirit to do the work in the hearts of men. So the shift in my thinking has gone from pragmatism. Let's get them forward. Let's get them to raise their hand. Let's do a quick prayer and get them to say these words. Now it's the gospel. This is the gospel, death, burial, resurrection of Christ. The word won't return void, as you said. We're born again, not of corruptible, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now the focus has gone from not trying to get somebody to say something and feeling like I left or I failed God, to God, this is your word. And you've asked me to preach it and, you know, share it with every creature, Mark 16. Now we're praying for the work of the Spirit in this person's heart. So the confidence has shifted from my efforts to, God, this is your word. And let the Spirit do his work in the hearts of these people.
Amen. We have a question from Boyd in Pearl, Mississippi. And Boyd says, one of the things that absolutely baffles my mind in regard to many who are independent fundamentalist Baptists is their absolute disgust over the term sovereign God, claiming that word is nowhere found in the Bible. But sovereign, obviously, means a supreme ruler, somebody possessing supreme or ultimate power. How on earth can they not view God in such a description?
I think part of the problem is the Calvinistic implication. So when you mention the sovereignty of God, the mind defaults to Calvinism. And that's the biggest hurdle that people have to overcome when it comes to doctrinal terms. The doctrine of the word Trinity isn't in the Bible.
Right.
But we have no problem using that to describe the nature of the Godhead. So sovereignty just simply encompasses God's power, his control
right.
over all things. But the hurdle to overcome is the connection to Calvinism. And what I'm finding with a lot more people that I'm talking to is they're coming away from that term Calvinism. You know, and I'm hearing, we don't worship a man. We don't follow a man. We're following the doctrines of the Bible. This is what we believe. And I'm seeing more and more people or hearing of more and more people that are doing that because of the implications. You mentioned election and people just automatically default right to Calvinism. And the barriers go up and you can't engage any further than that because they've already been told Calvinism is evil. Calvinism is this. Calvinism is that. And you're just not going to, you can't break through that. So you have to be patient with people and explain and define your terms. I had an interesting encounter. It was years ago. We had a fella who was the on-campus evangelist. He was the one, he loved sharing the gospel, and he would spend hours with people just talking to them. So we'd be down in front of City Hall, and he'd be going for an hour with one person, just going through patiently. And there's a group that comes down, I think it's Bethlehem Bible Church in West Boylston, Brother Mike Abendroth.
Oh, and yeah, I know Mike.
Yeah.
And well, Steve Cooley is associate pastor.
I don't think I've ever met Steve Cooley. I haven't met Mike, actually.
And Steve,
but he's got a group of people.
I was just going to say Steve is a former Mormon. He was saved by the grace of God.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
Praise God. Well, what happened was their guys come down, guys and gals. There's a little group of them that come down, and we'd exchange pleasantries, and they'd go on their way sharing the gospel of Christ. Well, the fella came up to me and from our church and said, hey, you know, you think I could ask them, like, how they share the gospel? Now, you might think, well, that's what kind of question is that? Well, it's an important question because he doesn't understand or didn't understand. How does a Calvinist share a gospel? Because he's already got roadblocks up as far as what Calvinism is or Calvinism isn't and what they do and don't do. So he was curious, how does a Calvinist share the gospel? So he went aside. He asked, it was a tall fellow. I can't remember his name, took him aside. They were together for about 10 minutes or so. And then they parted ways. And the fellow came up to me and he said, that is the clearest presentation of the gospel that I've ever heard. And so doors were opened and an explanation was given from a Calvinist perspective on how they share the gospel. And some might think that's a foolish question. Of course they share the gospel. Well, rather than making strong denunciations from the pulpit about what Calvinists do or Calvinists don't do, why not ask a Calvinist? We've got a young man in our church that just started coming back after being away for a while. And I handed him a 1689 Baptist confession. And we got to talking. And he had remarked to me, he said, you know, I heard a lot about how bad Calvinists are. He said, I want to know what they believe. You know, I want to read their literature. I want to learn what they teach. And so we had a very engaging conversation. In fact, I got to follow up with him. He mentioned last night he's been listening to a preacher. Now I forget his name. I'm in the middle of this conversation. I forget his name. But William Lane Craig, and something about monolism. And I'm really not familiar with the term.
Monolism, yeah.
Was monolism. Yeah. I'm not familiar with the term, so I have to do some research on it. I can't really contribute much more than that. But it just opened the door for some discussion on this doctrine, apparently, that is believed out there. I don't know to what extent, so I'm going to do some research on that.
We're going to our final break right now, and if you have any questions that you'd like to add to our conversation, send them immediately to chrisarnzen@gmail.com. chrisaranzen@gmail.com. Give us your first name, at least, city and state. Country residents, we'll be right back. Please do not go away.
James White of Alpha and Omega Ministries here. If you've watched my Dividing Line webcast often enough, you know I have a great love for getting Bibles and other documents vital to my ministry rebound to preserve and ensure their longevity. And besides that, they feel so good. I'm so delighted I discovered Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding. No radio ad will be long enough to sing their praises sufficiently, but I'll give it a shot. Jeffrey Rice of Post Tenebris Lux is a remarkably gifted craftsman and artisan. All his work is done by hand, from the cutting to the pleating of corners to the perimeter stitching. Jeffrey uses the finest and buttery soft imported leathers in a wide variety of gorgeous colors, like the turquoise goat skin tanned in Italy used for my Nessie Allen 28th edition, with a navy blue goat skin inside liner, and the electric blue goat skin from a French tannery used to rebind a Reformation study Bible I used as a gift. The silver gilding he added on the page edges has a stunning mirror finish resembling highly polished chrome. Jeffrey will customize your rebinding to your specifications and even emboss your logo into the leather, making whatever he rebinds a one-of-a-kind work of art. For more details on Post Tenebris Lux Bible Rebinding, go to PTLBibleRebinding.com. That's PTLBibleRebinding.com.
Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church, a Christ-centered, gospel-driven church looking to spread the gospel in the southwest portion of Long Island, New York, and play our role in fulfilling the Great Commission, supporting and sending for the spread of the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're delighted to be a part of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio advertising family. At Lynbrook Baptist Church, we believe the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments to be the inspired word of God, inerrant in the original writings, complete as the revelation of God's will for salvation, and the supreme and final authority in all matters to which they speak. We believe in salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. This salvation is based upon the sovereign grace of God, was purchased by Christ on the cross, and is received through faith alone, apart from any human merit, works, or ritual. Salvation in Christ also results in righteous living, good works, and appropriate respect and concern for all who bear God's image. If you live near Lynbrook, Long Island, or if you're just passing through on the Lord's Day, we'd love to have you come and join us in worship. For details, visit lynbrookbaptist.org. That's LynbrookBaptist.org. This is Pastor Keith Allen of Lynbrook Baptist Church reminding you that by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. May the Lord bless you in the knowledge of Himself.
Such a blessing to hear from Iron Sharpens Iron radio listeners from all over the world. Here's Joe Riley, a listener in Ireland, who wants you to know about a guest on the show he really loves hearing interviewed, Dr. Joe Moorcraft.
I'm Joe Riley, a faithful Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener here in Athy in County Kildare, Ireland, going back to 2005. One of my very favorite guests on Iron Sharpens Iron is Dr. Joe Moorcraft. If you've been blessed by Iron Sharpens Iron Radio, Dr. Moorcraft and Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, are largely to thank, since they are one of the program's largest financial supporters. Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming is in Forsyth County, a part of the Atlanta metropolitan area. Heritage is a thoroughly biblical church, unwaveringly committed to Westminster standards, and Dr. Joe Moorcraft is the author of an 8-volume commentary on the larger catechism. Heritage is a member of the Hanover Presbytery, built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, and tracing its roots and heritage back to the great Protestant Reformation of the 16th century. Heritage maintains and follows the biblical truth and principles proclaimed by the Reformers. Scripture alone, grace alone, faith alone, Christ alone, and God's glory alone. Their primary goal is the worship of the triune God that continues in eternity. For more details on Heritage Presbyterian Church of Cumming, Georgia, visit heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. That's heritagepresbyterianchurch.com. Or call 678-954-7831. That's 678-954-7831. If you visit, tell them Joe Riley, an Iron Sharpens Iron radio listener from Atoy in County Kildare, Ireland, sent you.
Sharpens Iron Radio first launched in 2005. The publishers of the New American Standard Bible were among my very first sponsors. It gives me joy knowing that many scholars and pastors in the Iron Sharpens Iron Radio audience have been sticking with or switching to the NASB.
I'm Dr. Joseph Piper, President and Professor of Systematic and Homiletical Theology at Greenville Presbyterian Theological Seminary in Taylor, South Carolina. And the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Chuck White at the First Trinity Lutheran Church in Tonawanda, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Anthony Mathenia of Christ Church in Radford, Virginia, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jesse Miller of Damascus Road Christian Church in Gardnerville, Nevada, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Bruce Bennett of Word of Truth Church in Farmingville, Long Island, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Rodney Brown of Metro Bible Church in Southlake, Texas, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
I'm Pastor Jim Harrison of Red Mills Baptist Church in Mayapack Falls, New York, and the NASB is my Bible of choice.
Here's a great way for your church to help keep Iron Sharpens Iron Radio on the air. Pastors, are your pew Bibles tattered and falling apart? Consider restocking your pews with the NASB. And tell the publishers you heard about them from Chris Arnzen on Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Go to nasbible.com. That's nasbible.com to place your order.
Pastor Bill Sasser, Grace Church at Franklin, here in the beautiful state of Tennessee. Our congregation is one of a growing number of churches who love and support Iron Sharpens Iron Radio financially. Grace Church at Franklin is an independent, autonomous body of believers which strives to clearly declare the whole counsel of God as revealed in Scripture through the person and work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, the end for which we strive is the glory of God. If you live near Franklin, Tennessee, and Franklin is just south of Nashville, maybe 10 minutes, or you are visiting this area, or you have friends and loved ones nearby, we hope you will join us some Lord's Day in worshiping our God and Savior. Please feel free to contact me if you have more questions about Grace Church at Franklin. Our website is gracechurchatfranklin.org. That's gracechurchatfranklin.org. This is Pastor Bill Sasser wishing you all the richest blessings of our sovereign Lord, God, Savior, and King Jesus Christ, today and always.
Greetings, this is Brian McLaughlin, president of the SecureCom Group and supporter of Chris Arnzen's Iron Sharpens Iron radio program. SecureCom provides the highest level of security systems for residential buildings, municipalities, churches, commercial properties, and much more. We can be reached at SecureComGroup.com. That's SecureComGroup.com. But today, I want to introduce you to my senior pastor, Doug McMasters, of New Hyde Park Baptist Church on Long Island.
Doug McMasters here, former director of pastoral correspondence at Grace to You, the radio ministry of John MacArthur. In the film Chariots of Fire, the Olympic gold medalist runner Eric Liddell remarked that he felt God's pleasure when he ran. He knew his efforts sprang from the gifts and calling of God. I sense that same God-given pleasure when ministering the word and helping others gain a deeper knowledge and love for God. That love starts with the wonderful news that the Lord Jesus Christ is a Savior who died for sinners, and that God forgives all who come to Him in repentance, trusting solely in Christ to deliver them. I would be delighted to have the honor and privilege of ministering to you if you live in the Long Island area or Queens or Brooklyn or the Bronx in New York City. For details on New Hyde Park Baptist Church, visit nhpbc.com. That's nhpbc.com. You can also call us at 516-352-9672. That's 516-352-9672. That's New Hyde Park Baptist Church, a congregation in love with each other, passionate for Christ, committed to learning and being shaped by God's Word, and delighting in the gospel of God's sovereign grace. God bless you.
Chris Arnson here. I am forever grateful to Cumberland Valley Bible Book Service for their generous financial support of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. But that's not the only reason I love them. CVBBS.com carries the finest in theologically reformed literature from 16th century classics like Calvin's Institutes, 17th and 18th century Puritan treasures like the works of Jonathan Edwards, 19th century volumes by the Prince of Preachers Charles Spurgeon, all the way up to the 21st century with the best of R.C. Sproul, Steve Lawson, Vody Balcom, and more. On top of their stellar book selection, CVBBS.com offers up to 50% off retail prices with an added 5% off for orders of $50 or more when using the promo code IRON. Visit CVBBS.com today and use promo code IRON. That's CVBBS.com. Enriching minds and maintaining the theologically reformed influence of Iron Sharpens Iron Radio through their financial support. Now shipping worldwide. Welcome back. I want to remind our listeners that this program is paid for in part by the law firm of Buttafuoco and Associates. If you are the victim of a very serious personal injury or medical malpractice anywhere in the United States, please call 1-800-NOW-HURT. 1-800-NOW-HURT, or visit 1-800-NOW-HURT.com, 1-800-NOW-HURT.com. That's the law firm of Buttafuoco & Associates. Please make sure you mention Iron Sharpens Iron Radio. Also, for all men in ministry leadership, you are invited to the next free Iron Sharpens Iron Radio Pastor's Luncheon on Thursday, June the 6th, 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. at Church of the Living Christ in Loysville, Pennsylvania. It is absolutely free of charge, and this time around, our keynote speaker for the very first time ever is Dr. Joel Beakey, founder and president of Puritan Reformed Theological Seminary in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Not only will you be able to get into this event for free and eat for free, but you will receive, as everyone attending will, a heavy sack of free brand-new books personally selected by me and donated by Christian publishers all over the United States and the United Kingdom. It's all absolutely free. If you'd like to attend, please send me an email to register at chrisarnson@gmail.com and put Pastor's Luncheon in the subject line. Okay, we are now back. And before I ask a listener question, I just wanted to comment on a previous listener's question who was basically quoting what many independent fundamentalist Baptists would say if they are King James only. They would say that the word sovereign is not in the Bible. And what they mean by that, it's not in the King James Bible, which they think is the only Bible, because the word sovereign is a word used in the English translations of the New American Standard Bible, Let's see. There's Psalm 103:19, referring to God's sovereignty. There's Isaiah 17:3. There is 1 Timothy 6, verse 15, and there's Revelation chapter 6, verse 10, and the English Standard Version also uses the word sovereign on a number of occasions, so I believe it is a very fine word, and there's no reason to be squeamish about it. Let's see here. I just had another question staring at me. Oh, here it is. We have Cora in Brandon, Mississippi. And Cora says, are there any independent fundamentalist Baptist churches that you are aware of that you believe are so vehemently opposed to the doctrines of grace you would consider their gospel a false gospel? Interesting question. And I'll throw in my own question about that. It becomes very problematic when you have that element that is vehemently opposed to preaching repentance from sin to people and actually say that it's damnable to preach repentance from sin because they wrongly think that you're adding works to faith for justification, which is just not true. But anyway, if you could comment on that, Pastor Tim.
Well, I think in addition to the repentance aspect, one of the other things that I hear coming up quite a bit is lordship. And that one baffles me, why anybody would take issue with lordship. Right. And maybe I'm on the outliers here on this, but if we call upon Jesus as our Lord,
right,
and Savior, then doesn't that necessitate our acknowledging his lordship in our life?
And the necessity of it.
Exactly. And so to answer that question, I guess you no, it's not a matter of I guess. You can become so vehemently anti-Calvinist that you do become unscriptural because of these doctrines. You avoid these doctrines, and they're critical to a healthy spiritual life, a healthy church life. And just go back in history. And again, the contest between Azahel Nettleton and Finney. Finney opposed regeneration. He opposed that. That's a critical doctrine. You can't avoid that. And if you're so adamant against Calvinism and the doctrines of grace, and you lump these doctrines in with that, then yes, you're teaching false doctrine, and it would border on heresy. Wasn't it Finney that taught? Well, did not believe in the substitutionary atonement.
Right. He also believed that the Holy Spirit was not involved in regeneration.
Yes, that's correct.
Which is a real, I mean, that is worse than Rome's understanding. So anyway, well, unfortunately, we've run out of time. I loved every second of today's interview. And I want to remind our listeners about your website. For Bible Way Baptist Church in Auburn, Massachusetts, a.k.a. Worcester, Massachusetts. It is BibleWayBC.org, BibleWayBC.org. Do you have any other comments that you could briefly make before we go off the air?
None at the moment, brother. I appreciate being on here. I appreciate the listeners sending in their questions and feedback. And again, thank you just for inviting me on your program and giving me this opportunity to share a little bit about my journey. The journey isn't over. Still certainly a lot more to learn, and I'm excited to see what the Lord has for myself, for my family, and certainly for the church family, as we see a lot of things heading in an upward direction. And so I'm looking forward to, who knows, maybe we'll have another interview down the road and give some updates and talk about some other things.
I would love to have you back on frequently. And
that would be great. I'd love that.
And I would like to remind all of our listeners that I hope you never forget for the rest of your life that Jesus Christ is a far greater Savior than you are a sinner.
Amen.